Psalms 105 and verse 4 makes a very strong statement. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Also we find in the 45th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God. There's only one. We live in a world where men have the idea, just whatever you believe is all right. They have gods in their mind that differ from what God revealed Himself to be. There's only one God. There is none else. And God revealed Himself to mankind so that everybody can know Him. He didn't want any mistakes made. He didn't want any confusion in the mind of men. He wanted man to know, not to be lost. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The belief always carries with it, except in the book of James, with obedience coupled with it. If you believe God, you do something about it. If you don't do something about it, you don't really believe. Somebody comes in here and tells you the building's on fire, get out. And you say, I believe. And you sit there and burn to death. People who believe in God, and knowing that we're going to be lost if we don't do something about it, and we say, well, I believe, and don't do anything about it. James had something to say about that, didn't he? Thou saith, there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. You say you believe and you don't tremble. When we think of God and all of His immensity and all of His glory, we can't really comprehend God. But every single atom in the entire universe is held together by the power of God and known of God. Every thought in every man's mind is known of God. To have the idea you're going to fool God, put something over on Him, or He won't know anything about it, is to deceive yourself. God knows everything. And God loves you. God wants to save you. That's why God sent His Son into the world, to make sure you had a chance of eternal life. Seek God. He's not hard to find. Remember what Paul said when he spoke there on Mars Hill? In Him we live and move and have our being. We live by Him. We live in Him. Seek the Lord. That's our part. He revealed Himself. He identified Himself. He proved who the Lord was. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, one way of life. Or as the Ephesian letter puts it, there is one God, one... I'm misquoting there, sorry. The statement made, walk worthy of the vocation worth it. Called, I know lowliness and meekness with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. For there is one body and one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God who is Father of all and above all and through all and in you all. There's only one way, friend. And if we walk in that way, and we here as a member of the local congregation, is not the pattern. The pattern's in the Bible. And we're trying, with the Lord's help, to follow it. Turn to the Bible. Don't turn to me. Don't turn to somebody else. Turn to the Word of God, and it will show you the only way. We have the responsibility of not only following it, but also teaching it to exemplify before man what God would have us to do, knowing that we're frail human beings and that we do make mistakes if we fail. But we know that we follow God, and God loves us. He made every provision that our sins could be taken away. The Bible is so filled with information. There's never any time that you don't learn that you can learn more. You can grow, keep on growing as long as you're alive. And at the same time, it's simple enough that there's not an individual who cannot understand enough to please God. Because God wants to save everybody. And he knows the need. And he gave us everything that would meet the need of everybody if they'll only follow him. But we have to do it his way. You know, people out in the world, everybody has their own idea. I like this, and I like that, and I like something else. I enjoy this, and I enjoy that. But are you here to enjoy what you enjoy, or are you here to serve the Lord, to please him, and to learn to enjoy and rejoice in helping him and doing what's right in his sight? Are we here because we love ourselves or because we love God? He is God. Seek the Lord and his power. How many times have you in your life tried to do something and failed miserably? Stumble and fall, so to speak. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I know all about it. I'm sure you do too, that you plan this and plan that. Man by himself can't do it. If you think of Peter, there when he stood before the Lord and the Lord told him that all you will deny me this night. The Lord said, Peter said, Lord, I'd die with you, I won't deny you. Peter knew he was strong. He knew he loved the Lord. He knew he was all right. He knew he wouldn't give in. But I've often wondered, what if Peter had said to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm weak. Will you help me? But you see, he knew. Oh, he knew his strength. He knew his faith. He knew his security. He knew he'd do what the Lord wanted. He'd stand if he died for the Lord. But you remember when Peter took the sword and defended his Lord? He cut a man's ear off. That wasn't a very good stroke, was it? We find people that way. Here in this life, we're weak and frail. But with the Lord's help, we cannot fail. You can't realize, really, how much power there is available. But the statement made in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Lord, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God knows you. You don't know, and I don't know. We can't realize how much God works in our life and helps us and watches over us. But if we had the temptation when we were young that meets us as we grow in age, would we have been able to stand? God watches over you if you watch him, if you follow him. Now, in regard to what God gives to us, two passages in the Ephesian letter I want to consider. There are many, many, many other scriptures in the Bible in regard to this. But this one here in the third chapter of the Ephesian letter should strike home to each and every one of us. Beginning with verse 16, the prayer of Paul for his brethren, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and to be him glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. God knows. God has infinite power. God will help us, and that power is available. However, he won't do it for you. If you lack power, you lack strength, he will add to you what you need, but he won't do it for you. You have to work. You have to labor. You have to do what you should and can do. But you'll never meet a case where you really tried that there's not the power available to help you to do what you ought to do. But that doesn't mean you can go out there and say, well, I'm strong and I'll do this and that and the Lord will help me to overcome it. You remember when Jesus was on the pinnacle of the temple? And Satan said, cast yourself down, for it is written, he'll give his angels charge over you that they'll lift you up, lest you should dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't try to try God out. Well, I'll do this and that, and the Lord will help me to overcome. you're asking for trouble and you'll get it. God has never promised and will not aid us when we're tempting God. Show off. Look what I can do with the Lord's help. That's bragging. That's pride, isn't it? That's anger. And shall we say, well, I've seen little children, you have too, dash out and try to do something. I can do this, I can do that. Get a lot of bruised elbows and knees and knocks on the head. We are not to try God out. But just how much power is there available? You can't really understand. You think I know. But remember, when we have need of spiritual strength, we need to remember. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now this, specifically, three things are mentioned here in regard to that. That wasn't general knowledge of this and that and the other, but rather, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Second, the glory of his inheritance in the saints. To realize that you are God's heritage, that God looks upon you of great value. And again, the riches of his glory in the of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and raised him dead, set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The power of God that raised the Lord from the dead and put him on the throne of glory in heaven. That is the indication of the power available in time of need. So when we say, I can't, it's too much for me, Lord. If we trust in the Lord and know the Lord will never tempt us above we're able to bear, we trust and turn to him, we know that we can do it, not because we can, but because he helps us. And we ought always to pray for help. Not depending on our own faith, our own strength, our own hope. Now I can do it. I can do it. With his help, I can. But don't make bargains with God. Don't say in effect, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. A lot of times when the time comes to do that, you find out you can't do it. You fail. You don't make bargains with God. If you want to do something for the Lord, you want to do something that's right, ask the Lord to help you. Don't be disappointed if it can't be. The Lord knows what's best for you. And so many times we think we know what's best. We need to realize God loves us and God wants our soul to be saved. And God's not going to give us something that will cause us to lose our soul. So if you ask God to do something for you because you think you need it and you don't receive it, Just know God knows best. There'd be a lot of us in great trouble if God had given us what we asked for. But God lets us have what is good for us, what will enable us to live faithful before Him in the time of trouble. When people feel sorry for themselves because they're tempted and tried, and people make fun of them or do this or that, Jesus said they were to rejoice, make exceedingly glad. So we turn to the Colossian letter, chapter 1. I think beginning about verse 11, the statement made, maybe 9. Paul said, I have not ceased to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That, notice, requisite is knowledge. You have to know the Word of God, and if you don't study it, if you don't learn it, if you don't believe it, if it doesn't become a part of your thinking, of your mind, you can't live the Christian life because you live by the Word. The knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, to all long-suffering with joyfulness. When we feel sorry for ourselves, what has happened to me? I just burden down on. Stop and think. God won't let you suffer anything that isn't good for you. He'll bless you and help you to stand. And instead of feeling sorry for yourself and somebody making fun of us, somebody persecuting us, somebody won't do something for us because we're a Christian, and we stand outside the crowd all by ourselves, be thankful. You know, if you were part of that crowd, you'd be lost. To be different from most of the rest of the world is a mark that you're set aside by what's in you. Not you, but what's in you. And you'll never be overcome with temptation and trial if you turn to the right one and to the Spirit of the Lord. Now, when we falter and fail, it's because of our weakness. We don't turn for help. We don't realize our need and think, I can do it. Lifted up with pride, we stumble and hurt ourselves. Then we look up, Lord, forgive me. I wasn't thinking. Give me strength. I can't walk alone. But the Lord won't dare walking for us. It's up to me and up to you to do what the Lord wants us to do in order for us to have the strength. God helps us when we can't help ourselves or don't have enough strength to help ourselves. I'm turning now to 1 John. Sometimes I use this. The absolute made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he makes some very strong statements here in the first chapter. This is a message that we have heard of Him from the beginning. We declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Did you ever meet somebody that said, I never made a mistake, or I'm not guilty, I haven't sinned? I met one man in my life that made that statement. He'd never done wrong. And I thought, one of the outstanding wrongs is you lied. We all know we're frail, we do make mistakes. And we know that only by the mercy of the Lord can we live. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, we fool ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God makes a difference because He loves you. But we have to know we've done wrong. We have to change our ways. You can't say, well, I blew that, and expect God to overlook it. We have to know that when we have failed, we need to be sorry for it. If there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness. If we say we have not sinned, then we make the statement, that's complete. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and that His word is not in us. That doesn't mean that God's a liar. But we call Him a liar because He said we have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We do make mistakes, but we do have forgiveness. We never justify our mistakes. Don't say, oh, well, that's not important. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does this. Did Jesus, tempted in all parts like as we are, yet without sin? When we're tempted, say we're in the flesh and we get overcome at times, but we can't help ourselves. Remember what Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans had said in regard to that? There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life which in Christ Jesus hath made me free of the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now why was Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh? Simply because He didn't sin, His flesh wasn't sinful. Our flesh isn't sinful when we're born. But when we do wrong, it does become sinful. Jesus lived in the flesh that we live in, suffering temptations and trials you can't even imagine, so that no one on earth could say in effect, I am tempted, I am in the flesh, and the Lord expects me to do something in. He didn't do it, said he. The Lord cannot in any way come short of being able to help you if you know you need help and ask it. There are people that take upon themselves pride and joy, look at me. There are other people who go through life condemned in their heart. You give up. I just can't. If you trust in Him, if you believe in Him, if you love Him enough, you can and will. But you won't gain that without study, without knowledge, without information. All the strength we need is here, with the aid of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't make use of it, whose fault is it? Christ died to make it possible. The word was revealed and confirmed through the apostles and prophets written down for us. Everything is there we need. God is there to help us. Jesus is there to help us. Everything is made possible. And God wants us for eternal life. But friends, your part, if you're lost, is because you choose not to serve Him. Not because you can't, but because you won't. And what do you lose in living the Christian life? Shame? Hate? Malice? All of the evil things, the tricky things? Yes, you lose those. Are they good for you? Think of all the things that you receive in return. The kind of life that makes living a joy. Something that makes it possible for you to rejoice day by day, even in suffering, even in pain, even when you're persecuted, even when you face death. You remember what Church of Smyrna, brethren, there were told? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. To realize that God's blessing is even to one who died for his faith and great pain. Yet it was a joy to him. Why? It was something he was able to do for the Lord, to show his love, and it was not too much to do. But I want to read here in the word of Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. In the Christian life, you have everything good. Nothing bad. For the things you lose, the things that fail you, are things that are not good for you. Everything you need, God gives you. God wants you. He wants to help you. He loves you. Jesus died for you. But it's up to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's a joy in a Christian life. But you have to surrender yourself to Him. You have to give your life in His hands. Agree to follow Him, to do what He wants you to do. Not what you want, what I want, but what He has created for you and it for your good. Nothing in the Christian life is harmful. It all has a good purpose. It's for your good and your blessing. No one that ever followed the Lord all of the way ever complained, but rejoiced all of the way. But God can't do it for you. It's up to each and every one of us. If you're here this morning and outside of the Lord, why waste any more of your time? Why lose any more? Years ago, I met a young lady inviting her out to services. She was in high school, and she said in effect, well, I want to enjoy myself in school and be part of the group and everything. And after I graduate, well, then she said she thought she'd be a Christian. I would guess that she never did. When you put something in front of the Lord, well, Lord, wait for me. Next week or next month or next year, and I come to you. Do you think that that is what God will accept? If you're here today, take the opportunity to do what is right, and you'll never regret it. If you love the Lord and you want to do what the Lord wants you to do, we stand and sing the invitation number. Will you come?